We'll go to W and T. Which one? W. Is that Hoppin' John?
You'll have to come back and report on an I.
Here comes the man, please. Yeah, thanks.
Ooh. What happened?
That's W.
Boy. Hello, everybody, first of all. Sorry, I have a...
Attention, board members.
I have a very bad swollen ankle here. I think it must be all this California rich food or the water or something. It's very debilitating, trust me. First of all, I'd like to... thank the PNB for its efforts in putting another seemingly successful quarter meeting together. And I'm going to start talking about WPFW in terms of our last pledge drive, which just ended. It just ended in May. The goal for that drive was $430,000. We were able to raise $460,000. And still counting. This particular drive was important to us because it will provide us with the operating revenue needed to sustain the station for the rest of the fiscal year. That means we don't have to have a summer mini drive and things like that. And that's, believe me, that's very, very important to us. We've worked very hard to get to that point. I want to congratulate our staff and the volunteers for making this drive successful. I also want to thank the LSB members, the local station board members, who assisted with this drive also. It was just another great example of what we can do when, as Eva said, we all work together. And, you know, despite differences, it's about, you know, pulling together and helping the station and the network. This particular drive marks the sixth successful drive that we've had in a row. We've met our goals for the past six drives. This is substantial for us. It wasn't always that way at WPFW. In fact, at one point, WPFW had to borrow money from some of the stations to sustain itself. Those were several years ago.
Several.
And, of course, we've moved beyond that thanks to a good development team, thanks to business manager Robert West, and once again, thanks to all those volunteers who make it possible. So currently the station is operating in the black. I mean, not facially or anything, but we are operating in the black. We have been able to... to meet our 1 month set asides in terms of revenue that's mandated by the PND. We're very, very proud of that accomplishment. And barring any major catastrophes, you know, we should be okay. It also allowed us to make a few improvements, you know, at the station, upgrade our studios a little bit here and there. We've got some other upgrades coming. We are not embarking on a major overhaul of our studios at this time because, as the first thing on that chart says, we're getting ready to develop our own capital campaign for relocation. Our lease is up in November, November 30th, the day after my birthday. I don't know if that's a sign or anything. But it is up in November, and we have to either relocate or re-up. And we'd much rather relocate for a variety of reasons. We have over 200 or so volunteers right now Even though we have the smaller staff, you know, in the network of 11 people, those 11 people, you know, essentially manage over 200 some odd volunteers. And growing, you know, we have a lot of people that want to come in and participate in what we do there. There are a lot of things that we'd like to be able to offer our community, and we need more space. We're looking for a location that, you know, within the district, because that's what we're mandated. That's where we're mandated to be, in the District of Columbia. We're looking for at least 10,000 square feet of space at an affordable price, and I do say at an affordable price, because we don't want to get into a situation where we overextend ourselves and create issues for us. So we're being very, very deliberate about how we go about doing this. Several of the things that we hope to accomplish by getting that new space, you know, we want to get into not only just audio transmission, we'd like to get into video and print, because we feel that those services are sorely lacking, you know, in the community, and this gives us some inroads in terms of helping develop those things for our community. And it's also a very, very good outreach tool. You know, producing a quarterly WPFW newsletter for the community, for example, that gives us a tremendous amount of outreach capability, along with the ability to do video. A lot of things that are happening in the District of Columbia and the surrounding suburbs that we'd like to put a lens on and not just a microphone to. So relocation is a priority for us. We're going to need approximately $750,000 to relocate, and I do say approximately. We feel that we can raise ourselves at the station at least a third of that. We're hoping to have the Pacifica National help us with another third, and perhaps we'll finance the other third. But it's going to be very, very important that Pacifica National assist us with this, because we cannot do it on our own. There's been a question about whether we want to purchase or lease a new facility. That's a very, very big issue amongst our local station board. It's a big issue for us. Buying, we would love to buy. If an opportunity presents itself for us to do so, we will do that. If buying is not an option, then of course we are prepared to lease. We're currently looking at several locations. We have not made up our mind on any. This is a process that's going to take at least another month in terms of, you know, going out looking at various locations, and we're leaving no stone unturned, and we're even appealing to the public to help us in that search process. And we've got some very interesting responses from our listeners on locations that we can move to. I won't go into detail. One of the other things that's important about this relocation is that Pacifica National's Washington Bureau is currently located in at WPFW. The PMB is we're going to have to make up our minds about what we're going to do with the Washington Bureau. It's obviously needed because we are in the belly of the beast. It needs some additional resources. I'm sure right now that you understand that Verna Avery Brown is producing national headlines. You know, she's running into money issues because WPFW initiated that project, but we cannot sustain it, and we started that project under the premise that Pacifica National would come to our aid, or shall I say, take up the slack on that project, because we have our own internal needs. As I mentioned, we are in the belly of the beast. There's a lot of stuff coming down the pike in Washington. These are very, very critical times. Pacifica needs a very, very strong presence there. It's very, very meaningful to our audience. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had listeners call us up in tears, thanking us for for being there, thanking us for broadcasting the information that they can't get on any other station in the Washington metropolitan area. It's amazing, but it's the truth. I've said this before, but it's the truth. There's no other station like WPFW in the Washington metropolitan area. And this gives us a tremendous leg up on everybody else. It also presents us with a tremendous opportunity and a tremendous responsibility. And hopefully the listeners enjoy and appreciate what we're doing, thus the success of our pledge drives. We also want to expand our staff diligently, but very, very carefully. LeVon asked a good question of Lonnie the other day about hiring positions that aren't sustainable. That's very, very important to WPFW. That's why we've been very, very careful about how we expand our staff. We're not going to put ourselves into a situation where we overextend ourselves employment-wise either. So we're being very, very careful about the positions that we add. We are going to be adding a permanent news director sometime in July. That was budgeted for, so the money's there. We have the program director position that's going to be in the search process starting in July, hopefully. And once again, we're just trying to be very, very careful about not who we employ, but how we employ. And we also have diversity issues that we want to address, you know, in terms of future employment as well. So that said, there's really not a lot to say right now other than this. WPFW needs the help of the PNB for this relocation project. It's very, very important to the network that we'd be able to serve the globe, essentially, coming out of D.C. In a much better way. This would allow us to have a performance space, perhaps, a larger meeting space, perhaps, because right now we don't even have enough space for the entire LSB to meet, and that's a problem. You know, we have to go out and rent a place every month to house our LSB meetings. So you know the issue, okay? And hopefully we'll have a successful search process for a new location. We hope to be able to make a decision on where and pull the trigger on some kind of deal by mid-summer. We will be launching our own capital campaign to achieve those monies needed. And once again, I want to thank the Administrative Council, the other GMs, who in April, at the April PNB meeting, agreed that a national day of fundraising to help not only WPFW, but the other stations with infrastructure issues as well. And I hope that we can, you know, make that happen as soon as possible. Once again, we need your help, and that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bob, Marty, Mark, and Fadi. Ray.
Hey, Bob.
Thanks for that report, Ron. Two questions. One is about the new hires, the one underway, the news director, and then coming up the program director. And you made a quick reference to diversity, but can you be more specific in what steps have you been taking and will you take with the PD position to make extra affirmative action towards communities that have been historically underrepresented at WPFW, particularly Latinos, Asians, and Arabs?
The search process that we've had for the news director, for example, we published that in all the major publications in the D.C. area, Hispanic publications, LGBT community.
LGBT.
Right. We've put postings there. And we've got, you know, quite a few responses, not only locally but nationally. So we're trying to attack that problem by getting a diverse of candidates. that will help in that. Hello? And okay. And we're going to take that same approach with all new hires in the future. You know, the diversity issue is important to us, and we have to address it. You know, the EEOC requirements and things like that we have to maintain and that are mandates. And so we're going to be, I don't want to say, use the term affirmative action, but we will be posting any new hires. We'll go through a very, very lengthy new hire process for any and all new positions at WPFW.
Okay, and the second question was about your reference to the Washington News Bureau. I remember at the last PNB meeting, Dan Coughlin made reference to the negotiations with Free Speech Radio News that had led to, and please correct me if I'm wrong, some tentative agreements about a possible merger between FSRN and the Pacifica News Headlines, and I guess that included the Washington News Bureau.
Yes,
or not?
It does, and I'm confident, really, that those negotiations, you know, will be successful, and that the resources available to FSRN will be made available to the Headlines package and to the Washington Bureau. They're going to have to be an integral part of that, of the Washington Bureau, and so those negotiations are very, very important to us.
Okay, thanks.
Ron, could you give us an update on the D.C. Radio Co-op and status of Dolores?
Well, Dolores has been, you know, her suspension was rescinded several months ago. And she's been at the station doing things here and there. So that's no longer an issue. With the D.C. Radio Co-op, the D.C. Radio Co-op is... they currently have access to the station, like all the other volunteers, and they are still producing the program Voices. And when the news director is in place, the news director may choose to launch some initiatives in relation to the D.C. Radio Co-op and other local entities. But as of right now, the D.C. Radio Co-op, once again, they're in existence. They're doing well. They're at the station. They're not in the station in the same capacity as they were. They're not doing the kind of training that they were before. Those are resource issues. But they are... the station is available to them. They are taking advantage of that. And so the lines of communication are open and accessibility is there. No retributions or anything like that.
Patty?
Thank you. Hi, Ron.
Hey.
Wanted to ask you, and I'm not sure if this is the right moment or not, but I thought I'd take the opportunity of this. During the hijackers regime, the national offices were moved to D.C. I know that when we moved back to Berkeley, we still had to pay rent on that facilities till the lease was up.
Right.
The question I have: are we still paying rent?
No.
And
the facility that you're referring to, which was underneath the station, fortunately was rented out to a very, very positive organization called Men Against Rape. They're in there now. We no longer pay any fees associated with that location at all. And that's been for about 6 months now.
Mr. Chair? I just wanted to bring up that in the days when the Pacifica News Bureau was co-located with WPFW, it strikes me that there was quite a bit of conflict between the two organizations over a wide variety of things. So I don't know if there's been any planning along those lines to avoid. It seems like there would be a fresh start possible, and we can anticipate problems.
Well, quite frankly, you're absolutely right. This is prior to Tony Reguster's coming in as general manager. that Tony and I, when he came, when he was general manager and I was program director, is the need to stop that schism that was occurring between Pacifica National, the headlines folks, and the news bureau, and WPFW. Quite frankly, I don't know what the source of that animosity was, but you know, we've done everything we can to put it to an end, and quite frankly, we feel very successful about that. Verna collaborates with WPFW now on a variety of projects. We collaborate with her on a variety of projects. It was WPFW that initiated the headlines package that we're currently running with the help of Verna Avery Brown. So it's a much more cooperative atmosphere, and it's going to stay that way.
And I just wanted to follow that up and ask you whether you've had any contact with the D.C. government, whether you have a good relationship with the municipal government, and whether there might be
Tony Williams.
Anything's possible, I guess. Whether there
actually
might be,
it is.
There might be help getting a building through that route.
Yes, one of our local board members, A.C. Byrd, you may be familiar with him, is currently seeking some information from some people that he know, including Eleanor Holmes Norton, who's agreed to help us in the search in any ways that she can. Ambrose is located a high school in the Washington area that's been vacant. So we've got some, you know, we're looking at all possible options. And whoever wants to help us, you know, we are more than willing to accept that help. So, yes, we are in touch with the D.C. local government about that very thing.
And the last thing is just that I hope that the access issue is foremost when you look for a new space, so we don't have to retrofit.
Oh, absolutely. Right now we're currently ADA compliant, but any new location that we move into will have to be that. That's one of the priorities. We just can't overlook that.
All right.
Thank you. I just wanted you to address quickly the question. It's been raised at prior board meetings about PFW's outreach efforts to other communities, as well as accessibility in terms of people from other communities having access to the air and that type of thing. Could you just talk a little bit about what steps are being taken at PFW to widen the rainbow, so to speak?
I'm going to say that the LSB, and in particular Zarina and Ayo Handy and some others, have been very, very helpful in that regard. The events that we go to, as mentioned earlier, we do outreach at those events. There was a great Ethiopian conference that took place about 2 weeks ago. And that was just one among many things that are happening in the community that we try to attend, that we try to inform people about WPFW about. Can we do a better job? Absolutely. Are we satisfied with the job that we've done? No. As I mentioned earlier, the diversity issue is an important thing that we have to tackle at WPFW. So we have to reach out to those, like you say, those other communities. We're going to be planning some external events and some internal events to do just that. There are a lot of things on the drawing board right now as we speak. The development committee is doing some things. Tiffany, our development director, has got some ideas. And we want to get some ideas. We're soliciting ideas from those various communities themselves. Because, you know, we don't want this to be top down or anything like that. We really want the communities themselves to come to us, or we go to them and say, listen, this is what we need. This is what we'd like to have. These are what our concerns are. What can you do to help us?
Thank you. Yes, Dan.
I know that Zarina was interested in something we did at KPFK, which is our real popular fund drives that were DVDs that people couldn't afford. We had screenings all over town. where we announced on the air, and so people would come to community centers and see those screenings. I was just wondering if you guys got that, and you can raise extra money at those events. Have you guys been able to get that going, or have you worked on it yet?
No, we have. Well, you know what? We have shown a few films. We have shown a few films, but not perhaps at the scale that you're talking about. But we have started showing some films externally, and with Zarina's help, we'll do a lot more. But not only Zarina, there are a lot of other people that are trying to help as well.
Thank you so much, Ron.
Okay.
KPFG.
I'm falling.